If you've been here this summer, you know we've have been placing a high priority on the biblical understanding of joy and rejoicing. And that was the direction God gave us at the beginning of the summer. And I kind of feel like that season's coming to an end, not the joy and the rejoicing, but the teaching of that. And be real honest with you, I wasn't scheduled to preach today. They don't like me to preach every weekend. But I felt stirred that I needed to speak just one more aspect to the lane that God has had me in concerning the joy and the rejoicing. For the last several weeks, I feel like God wanted us to emphasize the biblical truth that rejoicing is a weapon of deliverance for the believer. In fact, we get that, and we've been looking at this verse all summer long. It's one that the Lord really highlighted for me, and I didn't know that this series would kind of take this direction, but we see in Psalms 118, verse 15, it says, "The voice of joy and deliverance shall be in the tabernacles of the righteous." Tabernacles is dwelling place. How many righteous people do we have here in this space today? Come on, are you righteous? He who knew no sin became sin so that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And notice the Bible says that where the righteous dwell, where the righteous show up, the Bible says there should be the voice of joy. One translation says there should be the sound of rejoicing, which tells us wherever righteous people are, it shouldn't be quiet. Church shouldn't be quiet. Come on, your family shouldn't be quiet. Why, you have something to shout about. You have something to rejoice over. Now, a couple weeks ago, we started on this verse, and we went off and had church with this whole verse. So I got to be careful. But I just want to connect two things so you don't miss it in the Word of God. Notice the voice of joy and deliverance is connected. You can't bring deliverance, but you can bring rejoicing. In other words, your part is the rejoicing, and God's part is the deliverance. And God says, if I could ever get my people to gather together, to dwell where they dwell and open their mouth and begin to rejoice, I can do what they cannot do. I can bring deliverance. I can bring breakthrough. See, some of you don't know what deliverance is. God's talking about breakthrough. Does anybody need some breakthrough in your life? Come on. Anybody need some breakthrough in your family, your home, your finances? And the way breakthrough happens for God's people is you can't sit there quiet. You're going to have to get loud. You're going to have to get noisy. You're going to have to get radical. You're going to have, the Bible says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by faith. What does that mean? It means faith is radical. It's not subdue. It's not passive. Amen. You're not going to sit back and cheer on your football team this year. No, you're going to take your shirt off, paint your stomach, and act like a crazy man. Come on, go Niners, huh? Woo! Any men out there excited about the football season started? Come on, can I get a witness in here? Come on. Now, celebration men, we come to church first, and then we go watch the game, right? The Bible says where God's people dwell, there should be the voice of joy, the sound of rejoicing, and where you have that, you will have deliverance. I need you to see that there is a connection between your rejoicing and God's deliverance. Do you need breakthrough in your life? Do you need breakthrough in your life? Come on, you're going to have to start opening your mouth and rejoicing. And the last several weeks, we looked at David's example when at Ziklag, when he had lost everything, and how he began to rejoice. in the midst of devastation. You need to understand that the joy of the Lord is your secret weapon. It's God's weapon given to you, and with it you fight back against the fear and the anxiety and the depression and the sadness and the struggle and the circumstance and the struggles. That's how we do it around here. That's how believers do it. That's how we overcome. We take out our weapon, we open our mouths, and we rejoice in our God's salvation, that He has delivered us, He has healed us, He has set us free. Come on, the church should never be a quiet church. If we're going to see the supernatural happen in our lives and in our churches and in our cities, we can't be passive. Come on, we got to be bold as lions. Now, in Psalms 137, let's dive into this, because we see this truth again in this story. And we've talked about some of these things before, but I'm seeing it in a different light. And I believe I'm on assignment today to kind of wrap up my part with this rejoicing with this text here. And so in Psalms 137, let me explain the backdrop here, what's going on in this Psalms. This is referring to a time where God's people have been living a wonderful life in Jerusalem. All has been well for them. They've had joy. They've had peace. They were a people who were known for their singing and for their worship and for their celebration. All the other nations knew that and envied that, actually. But now the circumstances have changed for God's people, and the enemy has attacked them and utterly destroyed them. Their homeland has been completely reduced to rubble. Everything has been destroyed. And many, many of God's people have been killed and slaughtered, and then others have been carried off into captivity in Babylon, the Babylonian captivity as we would know it. And it's in this setting that we see God's people in complete devastation. They're completely overwhelmed with pain and disappointment. They've lost everything that they have, and now they are being carted away to Babylon. And on their way in Psalms 137, verses 1 through 3, notice what it says here. It says, along the banks of Babylon's rivers we sat as exiles, mourning our captivity, and wept with great love for Zion, Jerusalem. Our music and mirth were no longer heard, only sadness. Sounds like the church today. Sounds like the American church today. Only sadness. We hung up our harps on the willow trees. Our captors tormented us, saying, make music for us and sing one of your, hear this, happy Zion songs. Again, let me connect dots for you, because gladness and joy and happiness throughout the Bible, they're the same thing. It's not like in the English language we kind of separate all those. When you talk about joy and gladness and happiness, it's in the Bible, it's all the same. And God wants to give it all to you. He wants to give you happy, He wants to give you joy, and He wants to give you gladness. He doesn't separate it. He says, I'm going to give you one, I'm going to give you the other. He says, mate, so they said, the captors tormented, verse 3, the captors tormented us, saying, make music for us and sing one of your happy Zion songs. Let me read this out of a couple different translations. Verse 3, the NIV says it this way, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. The CSB translation says it this way, our captors there asked us for songs, notice this, and for rejoicing. And God's people responded in verse 4, this is what they said, but how could we sing the song of the Lord in this foreign wilderness? How could we sing this joy song? How could we rejoice in this place of captivity? How could we sing a happy song when we've lost everything that we have? And now we've been taken from our homeland. We can't get happy. We can't be happy. We can't sing joyful songs in this condition and in this place. So today I want to preach from this subject matter. It's time to sing your happy song. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to sing your happy song. It's time to sing, put it in the chats, it's time to sing your happy song. Here's God's people being carried off into captivity. They're in shock, they're in despair, they're weeping, they're brokenhearted, they've lost everything. And now their captors begin to mock them, saying to them, hey, we know you guys are famous for your celebrations and for your singing and for all your joy songs. Hey, why don't you go ahead and sing to us one of those happy songs, those joy songs. Hey, why don't you rejoice now? You see, the captors are mocking them by saying, where is your joy song now? You've lost everything. Hey, where's your God now? Where's your joy now? And the Bible says that God's people at that moment took their harps, which was their primary instrument for worship in that day. And the Bible says they hung them in the willow trees. The willow trees represents weeping and sorrow. So when God's people were being mocked, they responded to the mockery by saying, we're not going to sing. We have no joy. We have no song. And the Bible says they went silent. They hung their harps in sorrow. And by doing this, they were saying, because of what has happened to us, we're so full of sorrow. We have no joy. We'll never sing again. We will never rejoice again. We don't need these harps. We'll hang them in the tree of sorrow. You see, when things happen, when trouble comes and you're facing the unimaginable, I'm talking about the difficulties in life. Am I in the right place? Maybe I showed up at the wrong church. I should have stopped down there, I guess. When you're facing trouble and difficulties in life, cause you to ask, where in the world is our God? That's when the enemy tries to tell you, to mock you. Hey, where's your joy now? Just hang it up. Just go ahead and quit. Maybe you ought to just give up. Just take your harp and hang it in the willow tree. Because face it, you're never going to be happy again in your life. And I'm here to tell you that is a lie from hell. That's a lie from the devil himself. But this is where so many people find themselves. They've lost their song. They've lost their joy in the trees of sorrow. So I've come to ask you today, have you hung up your harp? Have you lost your joyful song? I'm not teaching. I've kind of done that all summer. I'm preaching a little bit here. Come on, I'm exhorting here just a little bit. I'm here to stir you up and slap you around and get you back on your feet here today. Have you hung up your joyful song? I've come to remind you today that your song of joy, that your rejoicing is a weapon. And it's how you overcome the challenges and the problems of your life. Wherever you can find rejoicing, you will find deliverance. Can I get a big amen? So I want to work this just a little bit here today to make sure you really get this, because you're going to need it. If you don't need it today, get ready. Monday's coming. And Tuesday's on its way. But I'm here to tell you, it'll be a marvelous Monday for you. And it'll be a terrific Tuesday for you. And it'll be a wonderful Wednesday for you. Why? Because you found the weapon to overcome every challenge that the enemy throws at you. Woo. Calm down. Settle down. Just. I want to make sure you get this. The Babylonians say to God's people, sing that joyful song. But God's people responded by saying, we're not singing. Sounds like a lot of church-going people. I guess you can't call them church-going people because they're not singing and they're not going to church and they're not doing anything they should be doing. The enemy is convinced that his plan has worked here, that he has silenced God's people, that they'll never sing again, that they'll never praise again, that they'll never rejoice again. Oh, but what a lie that was. God's people would sing again, and they still had a happy song. You see, just because it looked like it was over didn't mean it was over. I've got to tell somebody here today, just because it looks like it's over doesn't mean it's over. So I've come to tell you the rest of the story. All you have to do is fast forward years later, over 50 years. It's like 50 plus years you have to fast forward. And God's people are still in captivity. And for years, there has not been a joyful song. But then God raises up the prophet Isaiah to tell them, it's time to sing again. Come on, that's a word of the Lord for somebody in your sorrow, in your captivity, in your struggle. It's time to sing again. So if you fast forward all these years later, God speaks to the prophet Isaiah, and we read it in Isaiah 54 and 1, and this is what God told a people that were in captivity. God says, rejoice. You missed it. This is what God spoke and said to a people that were in captivity. God said to rejoice. Why? Because rejoicing is your weapon that'll deliver you out of your captivity. He said, rejoice with singing. That's what God told them, you barren one. You who have never given birth, burst into a song of joy and shout. You who have never been in labor for the deserted wife will have more, will have more, will have more. Somebody needs to get that in their heart. They'll have more children than the married one, says Yahweh. This is a call to rejoice. God shows up into their captivity and God says, rejoice with singing, you barren one. You who have never given birth, burst into a song of joy. It's interesting to me that God uses the metaphor of a barren woman to symbolize Israel's captivity and struggle here in Babylon. But I think it's fitting because so many of us in this room, we all have barrenness in our life. Things that have not worked out like we thought they would. We all have areas of barrenness, those struggles or those problems or those difficulties, those family issues, those relational issues, the things we thought would produce are not producing, those health issues, those financial issues, barrenness in our life. Now don't miss this, because I'm going to say this over and over until you get it. God shows up in the barrenness, in that area that they needed a breakthrough in. And God says, before the answer comes, I need you to get happy. Let me say it this way. I need you to rejoice. God says, okay, I know you're in captivity and it's been long enough and I'm tired of you pouting and I'm tired of you sad and I'm tired of your groaning and I'm tired and I'm tired and it's time for you to get up and start rejoicing. Why sit here till we die? Come on, we need to get up.
Okay.
God says, before the answer comes, I need you to sing. I don't think you got it. God is saying to those who are in captivity, I see your barrenness. I see your emptiness. I see your struggle. I see your pain. I see your broken family. I see your rebellious kids. I see your rebellious husband. I see your jacked up finances. I see your shame. I see your disgrace. I know that you feel forgotten. I know that you feel deserted, but I'm here to tell you it's time to sing. Woo! It's time to sing. A silent church is a defeated church, but a rowdy, rejoicing church is a, oh, come on. Is a church that'll see revival in their home, will see breakthroughs in their families. You see, I don't think you still got it. I think maybe three of you got it. God says it this way. I need you to get happy before you think you should get happy. Put that in your religious pipe and smoke that one. Oh, don't want you to miss it. God says, I need you to get happy before you think you need to get happy. Let me say it another. I need you to sing before you ever feel like singing. I need you to rejoice before you think you should rejoice. I got to get you to do it before you think you really want to do it. Because you're never going to feel like doing it. But if you'll do it, you'll get what you want. God tells them, here it is. God tells them to sing even though they have nothing. God tells them to rejoice when they have nothing but captivity. Even though you're yet to bear fruit, I need you to sing. Even though you're yet to produce, I need you to sing. Even though your accusers are mocking you, I need you to sing. I need you to rejoice. I know they're mocking you, but I need you, quit, get your eyes off of them. Quit reading their posts. Quit responding to them. I need you to sing. Even though your bank account is empty, I need you to sing. Even though your family is hurting, even though your body is full of pain, I need somebody to get happy. It's time to sing the joyful song. God tells these who are in captivity, who are barren, those who have not given birth to anything for years. They have no freedom. They have no fruitfulness. They have no future. And God has the audacity to look at them and look at you and tells you it's time to get happy. It's time to sing. And for you Bible scholars out there and students of the Word of God, when Isaiah 54:1 is written, Paul actually references it in his epistles in Galatians there. And so he's communicating to a New Testament church that this promise was not just for those in captivities, but this is for every New Testament believer. He says that in Galatians 4:27 when he references this. So this wasn't just something God wanted them to do. That's the point. God wants every child of Almighty God who feels like they're in captivity, who's hung their harps in the willow trees. He says, here's how you get out of your situation. Here's how you get victory. Here's how you get deliverance. You need to sing. You need to get happy. You need to rejoice. In fact, God doesn't just say sing. He says sing loud. Some of you, I'm messing up your religious mentality. He says it was in Isaiah. He said sing loud. In fact, one translation says cry aloud. In the Hebrew, it literally could be translated scream with anticipation. Oh, my goodness. Do you think God knows something we don't know? And do you think the devil knows something you don't know? Oh, I'm here to tell you, scream with anticipation. Cry aloud. In other words, I want you to catch this because this is what God told them. I need you to rejoice, and I need you to do it loudly. That's what he said. He said, I want you to cry aloud. I want you to scream with anticipation. In other words, what was God saying? I need you to sing it loud enough so that your enemies can hear it. God tells them what you haven't done for years, you need to let them hear it now. It's been 50 plus years, you've hung your harps, but it's time for everybody to start hearing the church again. Let them hear that you still have a song. Let them hear that you still believe your God. God tells them, I want you to give them what they asked for long ago. Well, that'll preach right there. Lean over to your neighbor and say, give them what they asked for. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, give them what they asked for. Is there anybody here ready to give them what they asked for? Come on, somebody. Huh? You need to sing it loud enough for the haters to hear your... Oh, we're waking up now. I say we're waking up now. You need to sing it loud enough so your haters, your mockers, your despisers can hear your song. You need to sing it loud enough so that every lie and every deception will hear it. Let every demon that tried to come against you and your family hear your song. Let every devil that tried to hold you down and stop you, let them hear your song. Come on, somebody. Let every work of hell that raised up to hold you captive, that tried to keep you barren, let them hear your song. Scream with anticipation. You need to let the devil know you still have a harp. You still have rejoicing. You still have gladness. I feel victory. I feel deliverance. I feel breakthrough. Come on, get ready, church. The rest of the year is going to be the best of the year. Breakthroughs are coming to God's people. Deliverance is coming. Healing is coming. Restoration is coming. Supply is coming. Increase is coming. I declare it over you. The rest of the year will be the best of the year. Oh, God's restoring families. He restoring homes. Sing it loud. Cry out loud. Let your enemies hear that you still believe in a God that heals and restores and delivers. Oh, yeah. 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 Shombre seto baha. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you're getting this, but I'm getting this. God shows up in their pain. God shows up in their captivity and says, it's time to sing. God is saying, if you're in captivity, if you're stuck in life, it's time to sing. God is saying, if you're in the struggle, you feel deserted, you feel shamed, you feel disgraced, it's time to sing. God is saying, if you're overwhelmed, depressed, it's time to sing. God is saying, if you have no fruit, no future, no hope, he's saying, it's time to sing. God is saying, if I can get you to sing again, then I'll turn the sorrow into joy. I'll turn your barrenness into fruitfulness. In Isaiah 54, I want to read this out of the New Living Translation. I don't want us to miss this point here. It says, sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth, break into loud and joyful song. Break into it. Break into it. You got to break into it. I already mentioned this. King God suffers violence, and the violent take it by for faith is radical. Faith is not passive. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. It's called the good fight of faith, and we win the fight. That's why it's a good fight, but you got to fight the fight to win it. He says, I need you to break into this. I need you to break into this. In other words, this isn't easy. You have to be deliberate about it. You have to wake up on Monday when you don't feel like doing it, and you have to break into it. The truth is, we know what to do, but we're not doing it. We know we should read the Word, but we're not reading the Word. Why? We're not deliberate about reading. We know we should pray, but we're not praying. Why? Because we just go through Monday, Tuesday, and we just forget. We got to be deliberate. We got to be intentional. We got to break into it. It's not easy to rejoice when you don't feel like rejoicing. It's not easy to pray when you don't feel like praying. That's why we don't pray. It's not easy to come to church when we don't feel like coming to church. And that's why we, but you're here. I said, you're here. Give yourself a hand of, get over yourself. None of us feel like doing what the Word of God tells us to do. That's the reason why you got to break into it. That's the reason why you got to be intentional. That's the reason why you got to have a plan. Come Monday morning, I'm going to be a rejoicer. Come Tuesday afternoon, I'm going to be a rejoicer. Come Wednesday, I will sing my happy song. I got to have a plan. I got to break into it. And here's what I've come to tell somebody. If you'll break into rejoicing, that is when you break out of barrenness. If you'll break into rejoicing, that's when you break out of barrenness. And it was right after this that their season of captivity came to an end. That song, that rejoicing, defeated their captivity. And today as I close, I want to show you the rest of this chapter and just read some verses here. Because these are the promises and the blessings that God promised these people if they would get their harps down out of the willow trees. These are the promises that God promised that he would do for them if they would just rejoice in their captivity. And this wasn't just for them, as we already have mentioned in Galatians. This promise is for us. Why sing this joyful song? Well, all you have to do is read Isaiah 54. I can't go through it all, but I think there's enough that I need to mention that because I believe it'll seal the deal on why it's so important for you to rejoice. These are God's promised blessings for the happy song, if you'll start singing the happy song. This is God's promised blessings for the rejoicer. He starts out in verse 1. We've kind of already looked at this. To catch this out of the Living Bible translation, it says, break out into loud and joyful song, Jerusalem, for she who has abandoned has more blessings now. You see, if you'll choose to rejoice and the worship team can come back. Get ready, because more's coming. don't want to shock you or anything. Don't want to disturb your poverty or your sickness or your lack. But if you'll rejoice, if you'll get loud, if you'll get intentional, if you'll break through, if you'll be deliberate, I'm telling you, more is on. I'm telling you, the rest of the year is the best of the year. More is on the way. Somebody shout, more blessings. I can't go through them all, but let me show you verse 2 of the Passion Translation. It says this, increase is coming. This is the same chapter. Verse 1 starts out, okay, you're in captivity. Enough is enough. It's been 50 plus years. Would you guys just get happy? Would you just rejoice? Please, would you get your harps out of the willow tree and get loud? And the rest of the chapter is blessing after blessing and promise after promise and blessing after blessing. And God said it wasn't just for them. It was for you. More is coming, but not only more coming, increase is coming. Increase is coming, so enlarge your tent. Add extensions to your dwelling. Hold nothing back. Make the tent ropes longer and the pegs stronger. You will increase and spread out in every direction. Somebody ought to say, yes, increase is coming. You shall increase more and more, you and your children. Get ready, it's getting bigger. Celebration, get ready. There's not buildings big enough to hold what God, I'm prophesying now, come on, to hold what God's wanting to do in this valley. Get increase on your mind. Some of you, you've been so beaten down, all you think is poverty and lack and decrease, but I'm challenging you today, it's time to get your song back. And if you'll get your song back, you'll get increase back. Shout increase. Shout increase is coming my way. I could preach that one all day long, but you're not decreasing. I prophesy over these people today. I prophesy to you online. You're not decreasing. You're increasing more and more. It's time to expand. It's time to enlarge. Woo. Verse 4. Here's the promise for the rejoicers. Fear not. You will no longer live in shame. Wow. Don't be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. Somebody shout, no more shame. That's bigger than you think, because most people walk around with a burden of shame and guilt. Shouldn't be so. God's not putting shame on you. God's taking shame off you. It's the religious people that will put shame on you. It's the religious people that will guilt you. Come on, God's taking shame off the church. I said, God's taking shame off the church. Somebody shout, no more shame. I could preach that one too, but I'm closing. Look at verse 10. God says, my faithful love for you will remain, my covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. A covenant of blessing will never be broken. Come on, it's time to walk in your blessing. The blessing of Abraham. If you be Christ and you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the blessing, that blessing will make your name great. That name, that blessing will cause you to be rich and wealthy and have provision. That blessing will bless you, not to put another car in your garage, but so that you could be a blessing to all families of the earth. Get ready. The blessing's coming to God's people. Oh, you didn't receive that. That bounced right off of you. I said, that bounced right off of you. Man, when prophecy's going, you got to grab that. I said, the blessing is coming to your house. The blessing is coming to your home. You be blessed to be a blessing in the name of Jesus. I declare the rest of the year is the best of the year. It's blessing time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've just come to preach today. That's what I've come to do. I've come to declare. I've come to prophesy. I've come to run every devil out of this city, out of this church, out of our families, out of our homes. We're coming out of captivity. It's time to sing. Okay. Woo. Oh, yeah. Somebody shout, oh, yeah. Okay, we're almost done. We're almost done. Look at verse 13. Come on, families, getting ready to get happy over this one. Now, I got to tell you, this don't happen unless you're a rejoicer. Quiet church won't get this. Silence won't get this. Sadness won't get this. It's the happy church. It's the rejoicing church. And isn't it funny how religion will mock happy people? Because they want you to be just as sad as them, just as bad as them, just as hurting as them. They want you just to be as depressed as them. The devil is a liar. God's raising up a joyful people, a joyful church. Come on. And if you'll rejoice, God says, this is what will happen. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and the peace and prosperity of your children will be great. Come, somebody got it. I said, somebody's got it out. I heard a mama get that. See, oh yeah. Come on, your children's going to be okay. God's got your kids. I said, God's got your kids. See, here's the problem. We take that verse out of context, and we quote that verse and put it on a refrigerator, but that verse is not yours until you start singing your song. If you're not rejoicing, God's not sending this promise to you. I got to tell somebody, it's time to get your harp down off the willow tree and begin to rejoice. Begin to sing that joyful song. And if you'll rejoice, deliverance will come. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. How many of you need deliverance for your children? You ought to be, you ought to go crazier. You ought to get loud right now. You know the problem with the church? We act like nothing's wrong. And then we go home and suffer in our pain and in our silence and in our captivity as some 50 years goes by and God says, I'm done with you being done. I need you to get up off your rear end and I need you to open your mouth and I need you to get happy. Please give me something to work with, God said. Give me a song. Give me a song of joy. Give me some, just do what you could do and I'll do what I can do. Oh, yeah. I declare restoration is coming to families. Oh, yeah. Your kids will never stray, I prophesy. I declare your kids will never stray. They'll never experience what hell wants them to experience. I declare over families. I declare over homes God's protection and God's ability and God's blessing. Your kids are blessed. Great peace shall be upon them. Do not fear. Mighty men, mighty women are the arrows, your children. Great peace and prosperity will be upon them. I prophesy and declare it. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout yes. Just two more. I could have done every verse. Didn't have time for it. Here's verse 15. This is only for the rejoicers now. It's not for those who hung their harps. If anyone dares to stir up strife against you, it is not from me. Can I just stop there? If it's strife, it's never from God. Strife is defined by God throughout scriptures as the manifested presence of the devil. Where there's strife, the Bible says there's every other evil thing. And if somebody's trying to stir up strife, that means they're working on behalf of hell. God did not make you the boss or the judge or make you God. And if what you're doing is stirring up strife, you're not working for God, you're working for hell. And that's the very manifested presence of the devil. That's what strife is. That's the reason why it destroys homes and family. And the Bible says, God says, there's things I hate. There's six or seven. These are seven. And he says, one of them is strife. And God says, there's a place in hell for you. I'll say it again. And God says, there's a place for hell for all those that sow strife. If anyone dares to stir up strife against you, it is not for me. God says, those who challenge you will go down in defeat. That's for the rejoicer. Come on, that's for the one. Do you know why? Because we're not qualified or capable to judge another person. I'm not qualified and I'm not capable because I don't know what's in your heart. And what you have put under the blood is none of my stinking business. And when you make it your business, you're getting ready to get in trouble with God. Listen, the Ark of the Covenant in the Old, I'm preaching now, the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, the Bible says the blood was put on the mercy seat, on the lid, on and it would cover all of their sins. And there was a group, 50,000 of them said, I want to see what's underneath that mercy seat. And the Bible says they lift up the mercy seat and uncovered what God covered and their lives were destroyed. When you try to uncover what God has already covered by his blood, come on, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get messed up. Because what God has forgiven, what God has covered, come on, what God... Somebody shout, it's under the blood. Now that's totally different if somebody's not repentive. They need to repent. They need to do. They need to get the blood. But with things under the blood, shut your mouth. I said, shut your mouth. And if you're stirring up strife for the rejoicer, here's what God says. They'll go down in
defeat. Blessed are you when they revile against you and talk all kinds of lies about you, for great is your reward in heaven. Just tell them, keep talking, because you're causing blessings to come to my life.
See, I got off on a bunny trail right there. We're closing. That somebody needed that. Church, never uncover what God's covered. 50,000 people lost their lives because they tried to uncover what God had already covered by his blood. I'm going to say it again. You're not qualified to be God, to be judge. It's enough work just to get yourself to heaven. Focus on yourself. Plead the blood and worship God and sing your song and let God do the judging. Let God do the fixing. Let God do the delivering. Let God do the restoration. Let God fix what he needs to fix. Oh, yeah. Somebody shout yes. Okay, I'm done. Verse 17, here's the last one. No weapon. See, you use this all the time. It's on your refrigerators. But this don't work for you if you're silent. This promise can't work for you. It only works for the... We're scratching our heads. I guess I am teaching a little bit. We're scratching our heads. Why doesn't the Bible work? It's because you are quiet. You've hung your harp in the willow tree. But God says if you get your harp back down, he said, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I like this. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the last verse of that chapter. Notice, these benefits, plural. They're all benefits of the rejoicer. Say, I'm a rejoicer. Say it like you mean. Say, I'm a rejoicer. Just stand to your feet all over this building. Say, I'm a rejoicer. I see deliverance coming your way. Oh, I see deliverance coming. I see breakthroughs coming for the people of God. The rest of the year is the best of the year. Well, why sing? Come on, I'm not done. I just tried to give you a break, but we're almost there. Why sing? Because your captivity's coming to an end. Well, why sing? Because your barren season is coming to an end. Well, why sing? Because you're about to increase more and more and more. You and your children. Come on. It's time to sing that joyful song that hell does not want you to sing. It's time to sing that joyful song that your past attempted to silence. It's time to sing that joyful song and see your captivity come to an end. Church, this is who we are. We are rejoicers. Get your harp, get your song, and begin to rejoice. Because if you'll rejoice, you'll get deliverance in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout yes, clap your hands, shout. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Worship team, come up closer, worship team. Oh, rapustikiti. Yeah, you're one of those. Yeah, I'm one of those church too. Come, but let's take it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what you need to do is you just need to talk to yourself. Say, why are you so sad? Why are you so downcast? You need to talk to yourself. You know what? I'm going to be a rejoicer. I'm going to fight through. I'm going to be deliberate. Come Monday. You know what? I want you to sing that. Just come up closer. Come up closer. Such a big stage. I feel like I could have a whole church back here. When we started out this teaching on rejoicing, man, did me and my wife ever need it? Not church issues, really. Just husband and wife issues. I'm kidding. We're good. 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 You know, after being married 40 years, it's like, who's got the energy to fight, right? It's like, yeah, babe, go ahead. Have a good time, you know, knock yourself out. You know, has anybody been married that long? You understand what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, it ain't worth fighting about, right? It's just not. But there was just personal things, personal. Don't try to figure it personal. You tell me your personal, I'll tell you my personal. It's none of your business. None of my business. And we begin to apply this rejoicing. Whew. We didn't feel happy. We didn't feel like singing. I mean, we're Bible students. We're preachers. We know we should do it. And we didn't want, it's almost like this rebellion. Like, I ain't doing it. I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to church. I ain't praying. I ain't fasting. I ain't doing it. And you'll die doing that. And we finally just opened our hearts. Sometimes I'd come out of my office and she'd be down in the living room just twirling like a crazy woman. But days later, we got phone calls that said, it's fixed, it's over, it's restored. All of a sudden, things begin to move, things begin to shift, things begin to change. I'm here to tell you, it's your answer. More answers in what we've been talking about all summer than you even realize. And I'm here to tell you, you've got to be deliberate about it. You got to fight this good fight of faith. And if you'll rejoice and keep rejoicing, everything that is wrong, God will make it right. Your job is not to fix it. Your job is to rejoice. God's job is to deliver.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.